From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Six million Jewish lives were lost during World War II and the Holocaust. A new exhibit at the Jewish Museum of Maryland explores the history of the Holocaust through the lens of the town of Auschwitz in Poland. Deborah Carden, the museum's deputy director, explains that today that town is known as the location of a massive complex of Nazi concentration camps. But before that,
the town was a place for hundreds of years where Jewish residents and non-Jewish residents lived side by side, beginning in the 16th century.
We'll also hear from Edie Krieger, whose mother survived the Holocaust in Hungary. Together, they, alongside other local survivors, created collages to tell their stories and honor their loved ones. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. 6 million Jewish lives were lost during World War II and the Holocaust. As Germany fought for control of Europe, Jewish men, women, and children were systematically murdered, along with other populations targeted by the Nazi regime, including disabled people, gypsies, and political dissidents. More than a million victims of the Holocaust died at the Auschwitz concentration camp complex. Construction of Auschwitz began in April 1940 in an abandoned army barracks in Poland. Over time, the camp was greatly expanded as thousands of individuals were captured, arrested, and transported to the facility. A new exhibition at the Jewish Museum of Maryland aims to explore the legacy of the Holocaust through the lens of Auschwitz. The exhibit, Remembering Auschwitz: History, Holocaust, Humanity, has four parts, including one that presents blueprints and other documents related to the Auschwitz concentration camp buildings, as well as one that presents the stories of local Holocaust survivors through collages. Remembering Auschwitz runs through May 29th, and joining me now to talk about the exhibit is Deborah Carden, the museum's deputy director for programs and development. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
When you are developing an exhibit about the Holocaust, what do you set out to accomplish?
Well, for us, it was so important to bring an exhibit to our museum that really spoke to people today, that had relevance to what's happening in the world today, that we could make connections between past and present and even into the future.
So how do you make it different from previous exhibits about the Holocaust?
To be honest with you, we have not done a Holocaust-related exhibit at our museum in a very long time. Our mission really is to focus on the history of American Jews with a focus on local Jewish history. So this was something that was a little different for us.
So how do you make it different from previous exhibits about the Holocaust?
To be honest with you, we have not done a Holocaust-related exhibit at our museum in a very long time. Our mission really is to focus on the history of American Jews with a focus on local Jewish history. So this was something that was a little different for us.
Are there myths about the Holocaust that you wanted to dispel?
I think that people who come to our museum, for the most part, are educated about the Holocaust, but it is such a large topic, and I think there are so many aspects to its history that people don't know about. And what we really wanted to do was not tread over a lot of the information that we think people know, but to provide some new insights and some new windows for people to learn about and to help them process this difficult chapter in our history.
And you decided to make Auschwitz the entry point of that story. Why?
Yes,
why Auschwitz?
That's correct. Well, to be honest, the exhibit started a few years ago. The concept for the exhibit started when I was visiting the Museum of Jewish Heritage in New York, and I happened to see an exhibit that they had on display. And it was a beautiful exhibit that really explored an aspect of Holocaust history that I was not familiar with. This is the exhibit that is at the beginning of our gallery. It's called A Town Known as Auschwitz, The Life and Death of a Community. And that was really the germ of the idea for the exhibit. Once we looked at this exhibit and realized it would be something that we could bring to our museum and that we could enhance with additional exhibitions as well.
And so that part of the exhibit, A Town Known as Auschwitz, it goes way back in history to Oświęcim, is the Polish mm-hmm. community. What was the town like before the war?
So what was surprising to me, and I think to a lot of people, is that the town was a place for hundreds of years where Jewish residents and non-Jewish residents lived side by side, beginning in the 16th century, as Jews moved into Poland from other countries. And although they didn't always have smooth relations with their non-Jewish neighbors, for the most part, the Jews were accepted and they built houses next door to their non-Jewish neighbors. They were very well integrated into the town's history. And by the late 19th century, the Jewish community represented about 50% of the town's population.
So it was not until Nazi Germany annexed Poland that the Jews became a target?
That's correct. I mean, there certainly were some incidents of discrimination prior to that, but for the most part, they were isolated incidents, and the Jewish community did feel very safe there. And of course, that sadly changed in 1939 when Germany invaded Poland, and Oświęcim became part of the German Empire. And that's when the town's name was changed to Auschwitz, which was what it had been called by the German residents who lived there prior to then.
The next part of the exhibit is about the expansion of the death camps. It's called Architecture of Murder, the Auschwitz-Birkenau Blueprints. The construction of Auschwitz began in 1940. What prompted the expansion?
They simply needed more space. You know, initially the camp was a place where prisoners of war were sent to, and then eventually it grew to house additional prisoners, including, of course, many Jewish prisoners. And as the Nazis began to really formulate their plan to murder all of Europe's Jews, it became clear that they needed centers to do this, and the Auschwitz camp became one of the main centers. So they built an additional camp right next to the first one, which became known as Birkenau. And that was the place that really housed the majority of the killing operations.
When you look at the blueprints, I mean, can you tell what they were intended for? Does it look?
Not at all. And I think that's one of the things that is so frightening. The exhibit makes the point that the people who were responsible for the construction of Auschwitz were just everyday professionals. These were architects and engineers and civil servants, people just doing their jobs. And when you look at the floor plans and the blueprints, you could be looking at any construction project. And it's really not until you look closely and you see that there were chimneys built into some of the structures for the crematoria and the barbed wire that was housed the complex, and you really think about what it became.
That's Deborah Carden, the Jewish Museum of Maryland's Deputy Director for Programs and Development, here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking about the four-part exhibit, Remembering Auschwitz, History, Holocaust, Humanity. And so part of the exhibit is made up of contemporary photographs of Auschwitz and other concentration camps. Tell us about that.
So as the exhibit grew, initially we had these first two pieces that really looked at Auschwitz from the time of the 16th century up through the construction of the camps. We realized that we wanted to add a contemporary perspective onto the exhibit to really explore what it means to remember Auschwitz today. And we were introduced to the work of an amazing photographer. Her name is Karen Silas, and she has been traveling to Eastern Europe to concentration camps and death camps and to other sites of atrocities. And she's just been photographing these places. And the resulting work is just amazing. She talks about how it was so difficult for her to make sense of what she was seeing as somebody who knows the history and the tragedy of these places. And she was also seeing these places were surrounded by natural beauty, by trees and grass, and it was so hard for her to make sense of this. So she started layering her photos together to create composite images that she talks about how her photos engage in conversation between past and present. And the works are really beautiful, and they require close viewing, and she's written very detailed descriptions to accompany each photograph, so it's very clear what her intent is and what's behind them. And she's also written some really beautiful poetry about the work as well that's on view in the gallery.
The poetry is there, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It sounds fascinating. We need to take a quick break here. Talking to Deborah Carden, the Jewish Museum of Maryland's Deputy Director for Programs and Development. We're talking about the museum's four-part exhibit, Remembering Auschwitz, History, Holocaust, Humanity, which runs through May 29th. Quick break now. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Deborah Carden, the Jewish Museum of Maryland's Deputy Director for Programs and Development, is here with me. We're talking about the museum's four-part exhibit, Remembering Auschwitz, History, Holocaust, Humanity, which runs through May 29th. The final part of the exhibit is the Holocaust Memory Reconstruction Project. It features 91 collages made by local Holocaust survivors and their families. Deborah, why collages?
I was made aware of the work of an artist from California. Her name was Lori Shockett. She actually reached out to me, and she has done these projects in communities all over the world. And as she explained it to me, the medium of collage is such a wonderful process for engaging people in storytelling. It's something very different than sitting down and conducting a one-on-one interview with someone, which is the way many survivor stories have been transmitted. It's a way to include photographs, to include other personal artifacts from families, and the process of putting together these collages was a very beautiful process. And I continually heard from family members how they heard new stories from their parents, from their grandparents, from their aunts and uncles, things that they hadn't heard before because memories were sparked by a photograph, by a piece of paper, by something that someone else had said. And that by the end of the process, not only did we have a beautiful collage that is now part of our museum's collection, but we also had just these extraordinary stories.
Well, someone who was part of that collage making has joined us on the line is Edie Krieger, who volunteers at the Jewish Museum of Maryland. She and her mother, Vera Kestenberg, created a collage to tell the story of how Vera survived the Holocaust as a child in Budapest. Edie Krieger, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a bit about your mother's experience.
My mother was born in Budapest in 1936. And she was a child during the war. I guess the crux of it was in 1944, when the Germans came into Budapest, things really got very nasty for the Jews. And at one point, my grandmother decided that she would send my mother into hiding.
How did she do that?
My grandfather had a paper manufacturing factory. They made arrangements with one of the people who worked for them. And she took my mother to this pedestrian tunnel under some railroad tracks, ripped off her star, and told her to go through the tunnel, and on the other side, somebody would be waiting for her.
I just have to interrupt to make sure people understand. When you say your grandmother ripped off her star, this was the the six-pointed yellow star that Jews were required to have on their clothes, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so waiting for her at the other end?
Was somebody who worked for my grandfather. And when my mother got to the other side, she lived with a family for about 6 weeks, and she assumed the identity of the child of this family.
You said she lived with them for about 6 weeks.
Right.
And then what?
And then after about 6 weeks, she and my grandmother were reunited. My grandmother had gotten herself some false identification papers in the meantime, and they actually went from one hiding place to another. They went first to a resort for a little while, and then when they were forced to leave that resort, they were hiding again with another family.
And then at the end of the war, the family was reunited, right?
Correct.
And lived in Hungary?
They lived in Hungary for a while, and then the Russians came, and in 1956, they actually were able to leave Hungary, and they went to Buenos Aires, where my uncle was already living, as well as some other family. My mom left with her, both of her parents, and my father came soon after.
And then a couple years later, they came to the U.S.
Correct.
So an amazing family story. When I think of how to tell this in a collage, what items did your mother bring?
Some of the items were some documents, including her false identification, a photograph of a pocketbook that my grandmother bought on a business trip that they carried with them, with all kinds of papers if they were able to escape earlier. We were in Europe in 2014, and while there, I took some photographs of the tunnel that my mother was sent through. So we had some photographs and photographs of some of the other actual tangible objects, the six-pointed star.
Wow, you had a lot to work with. What does the collage look like? Describe it to our listeners who can't see it at this moment.
It started out as a piece of board with like a travel background theme that was 10 inches by 10 inches, and we shrunk these photographs down to be able to fit on there. In the center of the collage, I felt the theme was this tunnel. That, to me, was kind of telling her whole story. And surrounding it were family photos of assorted different time periods, of when my mother married, of this pocketbook, as I say, of the false identification. In Budapest, there is a famous shoe memorial along the river Danube, where unfortunately a lot of Jews were shot and fell into the water. So while we were there, that photograph is there. So all kinds of recent and historical memorabilia, so to say.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Deborah Carden, the Jewish Museum of Maryland's Deputy Director for Programs and Development, and with Edie Krieger, a volunteer at the Jewish Museum, daughter of Vera Kestenberg, a Holocaust survivor. They created a collage that is part of the Holocaust Memory Reconstruction Project on display at the Jewish Museum of Maryland. Edie, what went through your mind when you first looked at the finished collage?
I have to say that I was very taken aback by the whole thing. It kind of really reinforced all the stories I had heard.
I'm wondering whether you learned anything new about your family's story in the making of this collage.
Well, my mom speaks in many places. She has always been very open to telling her story. But I guess it reinforced and it really just seeing it in person and being in some of these places kind of gave me a greater appreciation for her experience. And I now have a greater understanding of what really transpired. It just kind of, as I say, I've heard these things many times, but it just didn't sink in until I took these documents and I put them in one place where I can see them all at once. I think it was a great, moving experience, and I enjoyed it very much.
These collages are on display now.
Correct.
Is that a comfort to you or a challenge to you to have your family's history along with dozens of other families' histories visually available to strangers?
I think I'm very comfortable with that because I think that we need to retell the story. And with this, when you see everything in one place, you can really appreciate what some of the challenges these people had during those times and the challenges they're experiencing now. And I think it's wonderful to learn from history, and hopefully this way it won't repeat itself.
Deborah, there's been a recent rash of threats against Jewish institutions across the country, including several schools in Maryland, as well as the vandalism of Jewish cemeteries. What role does a museum play at a time like this in responding to those hate crimes?
That is such a great question. And for us, that's the most important role that our museum can play. We really feel it is our mission to bring people together, to have conversations, to provide opportunities for people to reflect on the past, but to also take away something from what they're seeing in our exhibits that speaks to them, that makes sense, and so to help them make sense of what's happening in today's world, and to hopefully stand up against hatred and to promote ideals of tolerance among our visitors. That's absolutely one of the most important reasons why we wanted to do this exhibit.
Edie, what are your thoughts at a time like this with some of the expressions of hate that we've seen recently in the United States?
Well, I echo Deborah's comments, and hopefully people will come and learn our history and go from there.
Edie, I really appreciate your spending some time with us. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much.
Edie Krieger is the daughter of Vera Kestenberg, a Holocaust survivor. They created a collage that is part of the Holocaust Memory Reconstruction Project on display at the Jewish Museum of Maryland. Deborah, what other events does the Jewish Museum have coming up?
So we're actually using this exhibit as a forum for about a dozen programs that will take place over the next few months. Just a couple to mention. On Wednesday, April 5th, we're having a performance in our space in partnership with the Global Theater Project and the Immigration Outreach Service Center of Baltimore that's called An Explorer's Desire. And it's a performance piece that explores immigration history as well as the plight of refugees in our society today. And following the performance, we're going to be taking a walk from our museum. This is when Light City is taking place.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to go, and we are going to walk downtown from the Lloyd Street Synagogue, and we're going to be viewing art installations that are part of Light City that in some way speak to the refugee crisis. Mm-hmm. So that, again, it's making those connections between past and present.
And that's on April 5th.
That's on April 5th, starting at 7 o'clock. And we're going to end at our city's Holocaust Memorial, which is downtown. So again, we can have another opportunity to reflect on the lessons of the Holocaust and hopefully make people a little bit more aware of what's happening in the world today. We also are having that Sunday, April 9th, we're having a program where we're going to be remembering not just the victims of the Holocaust, but also victims of many other genocides. Sadly, the Holocaust was not the last genocide. There have been many other that have taken place. So we're having a program starting at 2:30 on Sunday, April 9th, called Together We Remember. And it's part of a worldwide initiative to remember and honor the victims of genocide. And we're inviting volunteers to come to our museum and to volunteer to read the names of victims from different genocides, again, as a way of honoring their lives.
I appreciate your telling us about those, and I very much appreciate your telling us about the four-part exhibit, Remembering Auschwitz: History, Holocaust, and Humanity. It runs at the Jewish Museum of Maryland through May 29. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Deborah Carden is Deputy Director for Programs and Development at the Jewish Museum of Maryland. We're going to have a link at the On the Record page at WIPR.org to some of the information about these exhibits and events. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.